Blog Talk Radio.
She saw the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me. Can I tell you one more time? I said he saw the best.
Hey, oh,
hey, oh,
feel on, feel on.
Thank you, Jesus. We come to give God the glory. Welcome to And They Overcame. We're here to give God praise. Hallelujah. We're here to give God glory. He deserves the praise. He deserves the glory. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. Ah, praise God for this day. Hallelujah. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy unto us on this morning. Honey, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning. Good morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made,
and we will rejoice in that.
He's just so good, and I mean, words can't even express just how good and faithful and awesome our God is, and we just thank him. We just praise him.
Yeah, we've had a very trying week. We've had some really high highs, and we've had some low lows, but God still deserves the praise. He deserves the honor. And I'm kind of excited, honey, because the things have been going so haywire in our lives, and I know that because the Lord has a great blessing for us, and the enemy just wants to come. He was a liar from the very beginning, and we just thank God and excited and in expectation of the blessings that the Lord has for us. Even not just the blessings, but just the opportunity that God has given us to be used for his glory. I was telling Sister Adrian on last week, I just, you know, this is a Job time. And not only our lives, but in a lot of lives, the saints, and even the Bible says that he reigns on the just as well as the just. He lets the sunshine, God, lets the sunshine on the just as well as the unjust. So we're just, you know, praising God, and the Bible says he gets not strange. When we fall in with places of King James, partial to King James and God. But he said it's not strange. And so I don't think it's strange. And I just give God the glory and the praise and the honor. I'll get that testimony a little later. But right now, let's start with a prayer. Maybe can you open us up with prayer?
Father, we just thank you. We just honor you. We just give you the glory, Lord God, that you are worthy of. In fact, Lord, we can't even give you the glory that you're worthy of, but you are full of glory. And from the depths of our heart, we just worship you and praise you. And we magnify you. We call you great. We call you Father. We call you God. We call you Lord. We call you Provider. We call you our all in all, because that's what you are. In fact, you are more than our words can even express. And right now, we just look to you. We look to you in the name of Jesus. And even as we humble ourselves to come to you in prayer, we know that we and our finite mind, we don't even know all the things that we need to pray for, but we just thank you because your word has declared to us that the Spirit knows and the Spirit makes intercession for us and moves in us through prayer in moanings and groanings that words cannot even utter. So right now, as we enter into this time of prayer, we call on you, Holy Ghost. We call on you, Holy Spirit, to come in and just intervene for us. Tell us, just let us know in our spirit what to pray for, so that we just want to seek God for everything, every desire, every purpose, for the will in our lives in the name of Jesus. Move right now in your people. Move right now in this broadcast, in this program, Lord God. Let your word go forth. Let your word minister to those who you have ordained to hear these words in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. We pray for provision. We pray for just even mental illnesses right now in the name of Jesus. For every attack on your people, we pray that you will just show your hand mighty in the name of Jesus. There is no weapon that is formed against us that can prosper. And right now we declare it. We declare victory. We declare victory in every marriage relationship and every, even those who are not married yet, but that have engaged to be so. Lord God, move by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Let the love of God be the center of those relationships, every relationship with parents and children and even siblings, Lord God. Heal relationships in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, just speak to everyone in those relationships. Let us examine ourselves, Lord God, without pointing any fingers at one another, but let us all begin to just remove the motes out of our own eyes so that we won't even be worried about what's going on in somebody else's lives. We just thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, for just letting us know, letting us see, Lord God, that right now we are just seeking you for relationships, Lord. Hallelujah, especially homes and marriages. Let there be healing and peace that come into every home, Lord God. So much turmoil. And we see it, Lord God, that how it is being manifest throughout the violence in the world, how we see so much violence in Chicago and even in the small towns and in the schools, Lord God. We know that's because they are unhappy homes, Lord God. Heal homes, Lord God. Bring the homes back to you as the center in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Even in the church family, even in the homes that are represented in our leaderships, Lord God, let there be a love that just is renewed in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you. We know, hallelujah, that you are doing these things for us right now. In fact, you have already completed the work, and we just look to you to show us the manifestation. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we pray that you would touch bodies, Lord God, those right now that are listening and that will be listening, that their bodies are in pain and disease, Lord God. Heal right now. Let these words go forth right now. We declare to be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and to rise up, never to suffer that affliction again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just heal our emotions, Lord. Father, and heal even our churches, Lord God, our congregations. Hallelujah. Every leader, Lord God, and give them all that they need, Lord God. Take the worry of everyday life off of their plate, Lord God, that they will not have to worry about what to eat or what to drink or what to wear. Lord God, just send bountiful provision in the name of Jesus so that the time and focus can be on serving your people. Father, and bless this broadcast today. And the leaders, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, grant the desires of their hearts and give them wisdom and words of anointing, Lord God, to just send out through these airways that your people will be ministered to and that people will be saved, that your kingdom will be built up and that your name will be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. We honor you. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, honey, for that prayer. I'm excited. We have a special guest that's going to be with us today, our Pastor Matthew Bridham. And he is the pastor of Garden Point Church in Apex, North Carolina. And he is an awesome young man, one that has just, to me, shown us a love for God's people. And, you know, to give his life over to doing the things that are pleasing to God. Just an awesome young man. I'm having a bit of difficulty doing that. I give God the glory. he is a young pastor that God has anointed to lead his people in this part of the vineyard. And I'm going to bring him on in a few minutes, but until I get to that point, I seem to have lost my way.
I'm here.
The things that have been happening this week on this week have been just such a, I don't even know how to explain it.
Well, as you begin to just tell of and reflect about how our week has been, and really just how things have been recently with us, I just know from my experience and walk with God, and even the examples given in the Bible, I know how that we pretty much started off our year at our church, talking about how the life of Job and how it just seemed that things were just going so well with Job, in fact, exceptionally well. And then all of a sudden there was so much turmoil, so much devastation, and I mean, but it was a purpose, and the purpose was that Satan thought his purpose was to destroy Job or to cause him to turn his back on God. But God had a purpose in that thing also, and that was to just show forth his power and his glory through his servant Job. And so at the end, instead of Satan getting what he thought he was going to get, God got the glory, and Job got even more than he started with. And then we see so many other examples where it seemed like things just went so bad for God's people. But in the end, even as we look at Joseph, who ended up started out as his father's favorite spoiled baby boy and ended up even in a pit and went from there to being a servant, went from there to being in prison. But then from there, from that low point, he was just catapulted into basically the highest man in the land, which wasn't even his land, a heathen land. But that's how God worked for them, and we just know that with all that has been happening with us, it's easy now to just get excited because we know that something is about to happen, and Satan obviously knows that. So he's trying to just mess with us, but we know in whom we believe. I know that my God is able, and I know that he'll never leave me nor forsake me, and I know that he's got us, and I know that when we get through this, he has something just awesome for us, and we'll be able to just, we're rejoicing now, as a matter of fact, because we know that this blessing is soon to come, because they, you know, the word lets us know, and just nature lets us know. It seems like it's darkest before dawn, and we can see the dawn. We can see the blessing of the Lord just coming upon us. And yeah, I'm excited too. When I think about all that happens, it just makes me that much more excited. It hurts for a moment, right quick. It kind of catches me off guard. But then when I gather my thoughts, it's, we're just getting closer. Now it's just going to be much more intense. And so, yeah, I'm excited.
Amen. Amen. Yes, we lost a car yesterday. Our son totaled our car to one car, and to God be glory. And the Bible tells us to give thanks, because it is the will of God. Doesn't always feel good, but it's not that we not going to go through the Bible tells us that we're going to go through. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God, hallelujah, shall deliver us out of them all. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I see that my pastor is on, and I'm so excited to have him, and I'm going to bring him on right now. Are you there, Pastor? Hello.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
How are the lovely burns this morning?
We're good. We are good. We're so happy to be here for you. I was bragging when I was a little older. I love telling people how old you are. Hope you don't mind. And how dynamic I think that you are. I'm such an awesome pastor, and awesome because of the love that you express, you know, to the congregation and to us, you know, especially to us, the love that you express to us, and that makes me excited, because the Bible says that we have pastors, and we have pastors after God's own heart, and love is the epitome of God. You exuding that love, and I thank God for you, Pastor Matthew.
Well, it's an absolute honor, and that means a lot hearing that from you, and it's an honor to have y'all as a part of our family, and y'all encourage me so much.
You got Luke.
Hey, Billy, I'm having a hard time hearing you, but I can hear Albert really clear.
Okay, good deal. How is this?
That is great.
Is this better?
Yes, ma'am.
No, you're not hearing me at all now?
No, I can hear you great now.
He can hear you. Okay. Okay, well, we're having my phone. Sometimes I have bad reception on my cell phone, and that's what I'm calling in on. But I just want to welcome you to, I don't even know if I told you the name of the program, but the name of the program is They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So what God has given us is we're under the umbrella of New Destiny Ministries, and that is evangelist Adrienne Bernard. And she has a program that comes on every day. I just, you know, I give her kudos because to be able to come on every day and to have people, because I know sometimes it's hard for me to find people, guests that will come on. So I thank you for coming on. But we're just here, Pastor Matthew, to give God the glory. And we're heard all over the world. And just wanted to give you the opportunity to come on and let our listeners hear what's happening in this part of the vineyard. We are excited because the church was just started. They're just celebrating their year and tomorrow. And we just praise God for what he's doing under your leadership and Pastor Chris, who is the, the head pastor. But anyway, we just want to know a little bit about you before we go any further. Just give us your name. Tell us about your family, Kristen, and your son, Luke. And just give us a little bio of you, Pastor.
All right. Well, my name is Matthew Bradham. I've lived in Apex, North Carolina, my whole entire life. And I met my wife at NC State through Campus Crusade Ministries. And we've been married about 5.5 years now. We have a 2-year-old little boy. Well, he'll actually be 2 in about 2 weeks. His name is Luke. And I don't know if I mentioned, but my wife's name is Kristen. And I began following Jesus when I was 10 years old. I grew up in a Christian home, but that was when I really realized that there was a difference between knowing God in my head and actually knowing him and surrendering my life to him in my heart as well, and actually responding to the truth that I had stored up in my head. And I started walking with him, and I really felt distinctly that God called me to ministry when I was a junior in high school. I was at a camp, and every year, the leader of the camp would give a call to salvation, and he would also give a call to ministry. And I would always find myself getting bitter at people that would respond to the call to ministry, and I just judged them, and I was cynical. And finally, my heart would always beat out of my chest. And finally, I realized my junior year, after getting bitter since eighth grade, watching people respond to this call, it was like God just spoke so clearly that the reason you're bitter is because they're responding and you're not. And I realized that day exactly what God was calling me to do in my life. Not exactly what that was, but that it would be in my life, that I would be serving in my lifetime in ministry. And so I went down like a little teenager that I was, and I went and found a counselor. I didn't go down front to the altar, and I went and found a counselor and told him, I don't want you to tell me anything. I need to just vent and tell you what's going on, and then I'm going to go off in the woods, and I'm going to deal with me and God. And that's exactly what I did. And I'll never forget laying in the leaves in the woods of Boiling Springs, North Carolina, at Gardner Webb University, and just laying down my life before the Lord and saying, whatever you lead me to, I will follow. And about 2.5 years ago, we started Starting Point Church at Mission Valley Theater over off Western Boulevard, right across from NC State, and had the honor and privilege to start this church with one of my best friends from college, who we used to sit around and dream, what if we did this for God, what if we started this church, what if we started this ministry. And I was actually working at another church right prior to that, and he called me and said, let's get Chick-fil-A, and we sat down, and he said, it's finally happening, and it's always been a dream to do it together. And so we started that church 2.5 years ago, and then in February of last year, we started our second campus, and that is where I'm serving as the campus pastor there. And as Billy said, tomorrow will be our 1-year anniversary. It's just been amazing to see God's faithfulness to this church, and to see all the things that he has done in the community that he's built and the lives that he's saved. And it's been an absolutely transforming 2.5 years.
Awesome. We're so excited because we were attending a church that was a little distant from us, and when we received God had moved on both of us to say, well, let's go, you know, and see what's happening at this new church. And we were so excited because of your enthusiasm. And it has been, excuse me, a blessing being there. So now you and Chris went to school together. I wasn't aware of that. I thought he was a little older than you were.
Kristen is 6 months older than me?
No. Not your wife. The pastor over there.
Oh, so Chris is 1 year older than me.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. So God had equipped you early in your life for this. We don't always understand what's happening in our lives, especially as young people, as teenagers. And it's just awesome that you answered the call at such a young age. And I'm going to tell your age right now. I hope you don't mind. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. At times it breaks up, but I can hear you pretty good.
Okay. Matthew is 28 years old. He's not even 30 years old. And the church is growing. And the congregation is diverse, and that's something that we really enjoy, the diversity of the congregation and how you connect with everybody. You know, it doesn't stop with you just with one class of people or one culture of people. You connect with everybody, and that is the heart of a pastor. To be able to do that. So having a young family, like he said, Luke is just one. I didn't realize that he's one. He's so smart. I thought that he was a little older. He has the enthusiasm. We have the pleasure of hosting a life group in our home on Wednesday night, and we have the honor of your mom, dad, being in our group. They are such a delight. And your uncle, Ken.
And we have a good time eating and laughing and talking
about the Bible and talking about things that are happening in the church. And something that we have had a desire to do for a while. And just tell us a little bit about you, how you guys came together, well, not came together, but how you guys put this together, ministry. I know that I've been over to the other ministry, but it grew real fast, and that's how you were able to open up your branch or your site. Tell us a little bit about that.
Are you asking specifically kind of like what our plan was or how we got started?
Yes.
Well, and one, just to throw this out there, I did just turn 29, so I'm getting a little bit older, getting just a little bit older. I haven't cracked 30 yet, but I'm getting there. You know, and so I guess a little bit about the way we got started. I'll never forget when I sat down with Chris, and he was sharing with me the vision of the church that he wanted to plant or he felt like God was leading him to plant. He said that he wanted to plant a church, and the mission statement of the church was to reach, train, and send, to reach people with the love of Jesus, to train them to follow him, and to send them out to reach others. And I was like, well, I can totally get behind that. And then he was talking about how he wanted the church to really kind of operate through these life groups, these people that meet in each other's homes throughout the week, and you know, whether they eat a meal together or just have snacks together or fellowship and study the Bible together and pray together. And these groups also would be the vehicle within the church through which we would serve and through which we would reach out to the community. And basically that would be how we carried out the mission, would be through these small communities, or if you will, mini churches meeting in people's houses throughout the week. And I absolutely loved that idea. I loved the idea that we were empowering the church to carry out the mission of the church and not just expecting the pastors of the church or the central aspect of the church to carry out all the work. And so I was really, really intrigued from the very beginning to see an idea of life groups of people and people formed that they are the ones carrying out the mission and the vision of the church. And so I was very excited about that. I was like, I'm all for that. And then he said, and I feel like God's given us a vision to plant 30 churches in the Triangle in the next 15 years. And that was when I just thought, you're crazy. And I couldn't even wrap my mind around something like that. But the idea was from the very beginning of wanting to put outposts of the gospel all over the Triangle area. And so that, you know, 80% of the people in the Triangle area do not go to church anywhere. And really wanting to make a dent in that number and to see his kingdom expanded, and by putting outposts all over the gospel so that if you are a follower of Jesus and you live in Apex, you wouldn't have to invite your neighbors and ask them to drive with you 20 to 30 minutes to our Raleigh campus. And so it makes it that much easier to reach people with the love of Jesus, for them to hear about him and respond to him. And it also has a vision of empowering, you know, the followers of Jesus in our church to actually be more effective missionaries where they live. And so the idea is, you know, we want to plant churches and have the intimacy of a small church, but also as we grow to have the impact of a larger church. And so that's kind of the vision of that, is to, by the fact of when we plant another church like we did in Apex, we are in another town, we are meeting the needs of people in that town, we are building community with people in that town, we are seeing people respond to the gospel in that town that would not if we did not plant there. And so that's ultimately the vision, is to be a church that plants other churches. And through doing that, you know, raising up, you know, a new community of people in that area that did not exist before, shining the light of Jesus very brightly and seeing his kingdom expanded. And so that is the vision of what we are a part of right now. We are at two campuses, two churches, and, you know, and we are not looking to rush, but we are looking to respond to the Holy Spirit's leadings, and we will continue to carry out the vision to plant more churches, as he makes that very, very clear. So.
Amen. That's awesome. That's an awesome vision. That's actually what we should do. We've seen so many churches come up, and the people never come out of the four walls of the church, or appear that they don't come out of the four walls of the church. And your mission is to equip and send people out, and that's just awesome. Now, you grew up in church. Grew up in a big church in downtown Apex area, correct?
Yeah, I grew up, my home church is Apex Baptist Church. I grew up going there when I was 4 years old, and I was actually working there with the youth up until I left to help plant our first church 2.5 years ago.
Amen. They have a lot of things going on, and so I feel that has helped me quit. Every time I go past there, I see their little, they put out a little, I guess like a bulletin board kind of thing, and they always have something going on. And when that's a part of your church life, that helps you when you agree to expand your vision, because you're used to doing something. You know, you were the youth pastor over there.
I was. I'll give a shout out to their youth pastor. I worked for the youth pastor that was my youth pastor when I was in the youth group. His name's Chuck Thompson, and he's been the youth pastor at Apex Baptist Church for, I think, almost 27 years. And the average stay of a normal youth pastor is 18 months, and because very often it's a stepping stone job. And to see his faithfulness to the calling, to the students at this church for 27 years has just been phenomenal. And so I worked with him for 5 years, kind of as his assistant, before we planted the first church.
28 years. Wow, that's a textbook. Wow. I know that God has done some miraculous things in starting point. Austin, Texas campus. Can you just give us a little tidbit of some of the things, miracles that you happened since you started ministry, like the growth of the church? Is that phenomenal for you, like the church is growing?
I think just to, I guess, a little bit of an update on where we are 1 year in. You know, we started with a team of around 50 people to start the church a year ago, and maybe even a little bit less than that. And here a year later, we've seen God double the size of that community in 1 year's time. And so that's been tremendously exciting just to see God build a whole new family. You know, I tell people each week when I stand up there, I mean, I didn't know a lot of these people. I didn't know Albert and Billy until last February, and now they're my family. They're my brothers and my sisters, and God really has brought a family together. And to see him double his kingdom in our midst in 1 year's time has just been tremendous. I think one of the things that's been such a blessing is that we – just the ways that God can move and the ways that God brought people to our church. When we started the church last year, we sent out quite a few postcards inviting people to come to a new church, and that's how Albert and Billy found out about him. And a lot of people came that weren't going to church somewhere, that had never been to church somewhere, or had been hurt by a church or whatever it might have been. And, you know, we've seen, you know, I think we've seen 15 to 20 people, you know, surrender their lives to Jesus and follow him in baptism in the past year at Apex. And, you know, and some of those people, it's just been beautiful. You know, I talked to Albert and Billy, and they've grown up in church, and that's my story. But it's been neat to see, you know, I think of an individual who he's one of our ushers now, and he came and he surrendered his life to Jesus, and he was baptized. And now he wasn't going to church anywhere. He didn't know anything about the Bible, and now he's in a life group, and now he serves every single week as one of our ushers, and now he's meeting every once in a while with one of our pastors for accountability through reading through the Bible. And it's just stories like that just blow my mind to see just the miracles that God can do. I think of a couple that came, and they were looking for a church, and they were driving from Fuquay, and they were wondering, you know, like the distance was a little bit of an issue, but they very much built community and relationships, and they're in our life group, and they were asking for, we actually got to see the husband get baptized alongside with me, with his wife, and to see the tears in her eyes, seeing that she got to be a part of baptizing her husband. And the story of this past year is that they had been trying to get pregnant for 3.5 years and had tried every single medical procedure possible. And we prayed over them and prayed over them. It was just something our life group continually prayed for. And they actually just had their baby. And it was just absolutely a beautiful, beautiful miracle to see that happen. We've been able to develop a partnership with the middle school that we actually, our church meets in. And we have a program that's been a praise to God that we've been able to start called Backpack Buddies. And where we, we've started this ministry and brought in a couple of the churches in the area to partner with us. And we collect food that we put in backpacks and send home with children that might not have anything to eat over the weekend. And it does not just feed them, it also provides food for the family that they're going home to as well. And so that has been something that's been an honor for us to be able to meet the needs in our community, and specifically within the school that we even attend. I think just some small victories it's neat to see. Every week I just watch people learn what it is to open up and worship, and you know, some people that kind of came in maybe a year ago as people that just stood very rigid and still during worship, to see them grow in their discipline of worshiping him and being a little bit more responsive has been something that's just been a praise to see God shaping a people and leading them to worship him. So those are just a few things.
Amen. Thank you a lot. I see God moving, and I know that God is going to do greater things in the ministry because of your love that you have for him and the love that you have for the people and the things that you're doing. We've been a part of, not a startup church. He's been a part of a huge church. My husband comes from a huge church, and I come from a huge church. He in Kansas City, Kansas, and me in Chicago, Illinois. And then we moved to Georgia, and we were in a smaller church. And in a smaller church, the atmosphere is more outreach, I feel like. The larger churches, but the smaller churches, I think, have a little more outreach because they, the community is so small until, the church is so small until, you know, you want to share, or you want to have fellowship with more people, so you're out there doing it. But I see that starting point as a large church with a small church attitude.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's the whole idea.
Right. And it's phenomenal. And it's, the Bible says it's marvelous in our eyes. So, well, do you want? We had a listener that called in. We have listeners that don't call in, but we had a listener that called in from the UK a few weeks ago. So you know that we're heard from over the world. And can you give us a little pastoral prayer to just inspire people towards God and give them just a blessing? You know, we pray over them, and we pray that Al prays and that the people are blessed and that they're delivered. And maybe there's someone out there that's listening, Pastor Matthew, that has a desire, has given them this life to the thing that you're doing, Pastor Chris is doing, and just have not had the boldness or the wherewithal or the knowledge to do that. Could you just pray that God would give them what they need and the boldness that they need to do that God would have them to do to increase the kingdom? If that's what we're here for, we're here to bring people to Jesus and bring people into the kingdom so that the times are getting so perilous that we know. I know we've been saying this for a long time. I've been saved for a long, long time, and my husband has been saved since birth, before he was born. But I'm asking you to just pray, Pastor Matt, that the spirit that is on you and Pastor Chris, that it would go throughout these airways to encourage people to do that thing, to step out. We're in the end times. We're in the end times, and we know that Christ is coming soon, and we want to equip as many people as we can to know him and to serve him and to live in paradise with him. So could you do that prayer for
us? Absolutely. Dear Jesus, I just thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege and honor, Lord, to hang out with my dear friends Albert and Billy this morning and to spend time with whoever, Lord, around the world is listening to this right now. Dear God, I just pray, Lord, that for anyone who is listening, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that their hearts would be, Lord, open, Lord, to words that have been spoken, Lord, towards stirrings that you've been doing in their hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, Holy Spirit, if there's anyone that listens to this program and has been listening over the weeks and continues to find themselves clicking and listening to it again, Lord, I pray that they would understand, Lord, that in this life the true joy is only found in you, and true peace and true comfort and true hope and freedom from guilt and forgiveness of sins and hope of a future and purpose in this life now, and that true wholeness is only found in you. And God, I pray, Lord, that they would realize that there is nothing that they must do to earn it. But, Lord, it's responding to realizing that you died on a cross so that we might actually have life, and that you rose from the grave that we might rise as well. And, God, I pray that people, Lord, listening might realize, Lord, that what if they, Lord, feel far from you, Lord, that you are a God that comes close. And, God, I pray that they would realize that, Lord, you are the Lord and ruler and King of this universe. And, Lord, all we must do is bow our knee and say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Jesus came and he said, follow me. And simply what he asks is not that you be perfect, but that you follow and allow him to transform you along the way. And God, I just pray, Lord, for we're going through a marriage series at our church right now. And, Lord, I just pray for the marriages of people that are listening to this right now. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just shine so brightly in these marriages. Lord, I know that how much Satan can creep into marriages through anger and through bitterness and through guilt and lack of unity and lack of intimacy. And, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just, Lord, shun those things. And, God, I just pray for these marriages, Lord, that they would see their purpose, Lord, is not simply just to find happiness in themselves, but, Lord, to find, Lord, holiness together, to become more like you as two people that love you. And, Lord, I pray that you would set husbands and wives free from selfishness and pride. And, Lord, that you'd help them find the joy of marriage, Lord, when that happens. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just help anyone here that's harboring a grudge or bitterness towards their spouse or to someone else to take the way of Jesus, and to lay down their life and their own desires and what they feel like they deserve for the sake of somebody else. They might see the love of Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you would just set, Lord, these people free in their marriages. God, I pray, Lord, for my something that, God, I know you've been doing in my own life and maybe would be encouragement to other. Lord, I know you've encouraged me, Lord, for a season of time, Lord, to specifically battle and attack and fight negativity. And, Lord, I of all forms in my life, and whether it's complaining or arguing or cynicism or sarcasm, and God, I pray, Lord, that if there are people listening, Lord, that find themselves continually frustrated, that find themselves continually angry, continually bitter, continually Lord, down about one thing or another, Lord, I pray that, Lord, maybe they would join, Lord, in this challenge with me of fleeing from negativity, but, Lord, and focusing simply on your goodness, and, Lord, I'm seeing that transform their lives. Lord, I pray, Lord, that if there are people listening that are just, Lord, wound up with the negative things that are happening in this life, Lord, that they would hold strong to your faithfulness and hold strong to your goodness, and, Lord, not let the devil have a foothold in their life, not have a place. But Lord, to be consumed by the things of you. Lord, I pray, Lord, for anyone else that's listening, Lord. We have an individual who's sharing tomorrow who actually just had an affair in their marriage in the past couple years. But Lord, you've held them together. And God, that's a picture of what the church is to me, is a place, Lord, where people can come and be that open and that transparent and share truly what's going on in their life. God, I pray that if there are people listening to this show and, Lord, feel as if they have things in their life that they, Lord, just can't talk about and they can't deal with and they can't share with others, and, Lord, they're carrying that burden alone, Lord, I pray that they would find followers of Jesus, Lord, to share with their lives with and find freedom together. Lord, let us pray blessings and, Lord, pray for you to bring healing in people's life. Lord, that are listening to this show, Lord, I pray for knowledge and understanding. Lord, I pray for growth in your word. Lord, I pray for people to give up more of themselves and sacrifice more of their life and die to themselves more and more daily. Lord, that we as these people that claim to follow you and listen to this show, Lord, would look daily more and more like your son, Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, for transformation of the listeners. Lord, I ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well,
I know you
We just thank God for this broadcast today, and I'm just excited to have my pastor, and I just love saying that my pastor as a guest, Pastor Matthew. It's just good to hear you minister to us this morning, and even as you were praying and referencing how that you pray that many people will also do as you have said you're doing in a season of your life of, coming against any negativity. And that's just such a not a coincidence, such a blessing, because even on this broadcast, my wife has been sharing something that she's been going through and sharing with me pretty much on a daily basis. And that's a series that she's been going through with, I'm not sure who the speaker has been, but where they've been talking about fasting from what negative words or negative thinking. And certainly that's a good fast for us to just take time away from that. In fact, to just rebuke it and cast it away, never to pick it up again. But yeah, we just need to be, we need to be on the positive. We need to always be speaking comfortable things. I think the Bible even says for us to comfort one another with the things of His Word. And so I just thank God for that. I thank God for just how He has blessed us to be a part of that ministry, and how He's even dealing with me on things that He has for me and my future in the kingdom. Not that these are new things, but something about where I have been planted now is stirring up what I know should have been done. And we just thank God because He's a God that time is in His hand. And when we think we've kind of just screwed up the schedule, and we screw up the schedule just because of us being who we are, but God is in control, and He can redeem all time. He can stop time. We see even the example how for His servant in battle, He just stopped time so that, okay, let's get done what needs to be done. And nothing missed a beat. Time stopped, but nothing missed a beat. So that's the kind of God that we serve. So we just encourage everybody who has something that they ought to be doing for God, even if you feel like you have missed your opportunity, you haven't. If it's still on your heart, if it's still on your mind, then that's the Holy Ghost that has it there. So just as Pastor Matthew said earlier, you don't have to present yourself as a perfect person going into whatever God has for you. Just be willing to fall down on your knees and offer yourself to Him and let Him fix you along the way. Let Him perfect you along the way. Let Him just develop you into what He has for you. And if we just go on and launch into that journey, we even see the testimony how Pastor Matthew gave us of just how God will bless. We just are happy about Starting Point, both campuses, even though I haven't been at the other campus, but I've experienced the love and the fellowship of those from the other campus, including Pastor Chris. And I just love those families so dearly. And I just thank God for this broadcast today and for my pastor, Pastor Matthew. God bless you. Just be encouraged. We pray for you. We pray for you all the time.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. We just love you, and I just know God's people always need prayer and encouragement, and we're there for you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's my co-host, or we hope together. I don't say co-host. I kind of wrangled to doing this. The Lord gave it to me, and I gave it to Him. I'm so happy that our the host of New Destiny has joined us today. She's coming on a little late. But thank you, Pastor Matthew, for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Hey, Billy. I think you told a joke that was funny, and I couldn't understand it, and I didn't laugh, so I apologize.
That's okay. I was just saying that I wrangled how to do it.
That's right.
The Lord gave it to me, and I gave it to him.
That is right. There you go.
Like Adam and Eve, huh?
There you go.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and I know that somebody's been encouraged. Now that the jury's all over, I can't think of anything
anymore. 29.
But I still
well, good.
Enjoy.
Well, good. That is. I'm so excited about that.
You're excited now. Give yourself a few years. So, we said thank her for allowing you to come to do this, and
there you go. Well, I will pass on to them that you said hello, and I will give them a hug.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. It's been a blessing.
Absolutely. Y'all have a blessed day, okay?
You too.
Thank you.
Well, that was our pastor. He had a little hard difficulty hearing what I was saying, but just thank God for Pastor Matthew coming on. And he truly is a man after God's own heart. He's just so passionate. You can see it in when you see him, full of energy and. You know, he's still a young man, so, of course, he has natural energy also, but he's just full of energy, love for the people, and it's never too early, it's never too late, as my husband was just saying. If you feel that God is leading you into doing something for the kingdom, just ask God. He will direct you. He will let you know which path to take and which way to do it, and just prepare yourself, and then God will do the rest. And the scripture said that the Holy Ghost will guide us into all truth and the things that God would have for us to do. And I'm going to bring our senior evangelist, Adrienne Bernard, and she's been doing a phenomenal job on her broadcast. Thank God that she's allowed us to do this. Things were a little different today than they usually are, but I thank God. I thank God for that. Sister Adrienne, are you there? Okay, she must be doing something. But anyway, we just got it. We're going to go into. I'm so enjoying and not keeping up. I must confess, daily the meeting. But when I am able to connect, and I can connect every day, but you know, life just gets busy sometimes. But anyway. You're just, this year, we determined in our mind that we're going to be getting those things behind, and we can put those things that are before us. We're pressing towards the mark, And as Evangelist Adrienne and I were having a discussion, and we were talking about running with the vision. We can run with the vision. Sometimes we can't run because our minds are so bogged down. I know the situation that has been happening in our home, in our lives, has just had us in such whirlwind, you know, until God has led me into this Pastor Gregory Dickhouse. is doing a 40-day fast from wrong thinking, and so I put that into this segment because I want us to change the way that we're thinking. Joyce Myers has a book out, and you hear so many pastors or preachers talking about that the battlefield is in the mind. The scripture said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places, wickedness. And I'm paraphrasing, but we are in a battle, and it's not in the physical. It's not in the, you know, like we're physically fighting, and then we are physically fighting. But it first starts in the mind, and I just am so excited about this teaching or fast he's doing. And, you know, he talks about we're not fasting food, so we're not fasting from a lot of things, but what we are fasting is from the thoughts that we have. And as I pointed out, the thoughts are not always thoughts that the enemy gives us. It's some thoughts that we have in there from the life that we have, the culture that we come from. We have the thought patterns that we have developed. We develop those are the thoughts that have changed. I know that I know that God is in control, but still I find myself sometimes just completely not paralyzed to the point that I couldn't move because I was still functioning, but my mind was really just in such a maze, and that's how the enemy would have us be, so that our mind, we can't concentrate, we can't trust God. We trust him, but we don't trust him. You know, we believe when we don't believe him, and, you know, that's the enemy. That's but it's also something that is in our mind, so we need to train our mind just like we train ourselves as a daily task in our job. We have to be trained in church. We have to be trained. So we need to train our mind. And the fact today is today we fast from the thought that says future, fearful, and uncertain. Random violence, economic problems, instability around the world, the future for you or your children can seem bleak, but that's all about change. We can look at circumstances that are happening around the world and even in our own home, and we get to the point where we're paralyzed. We're paralyzed with fear, you know, thinking, oh, my God, you know, how will we, I know God can do it. And this is me. I know God can do it. But will he do it? I told my husband, I said, I know God can do it, but am I going to like what he does? Because he doesn't always do things that we want him to do. But the thing that he does is for our perfection. He knows from the beginning. He knows that that we need. We think we know what we need. And we have our desires, and we have our, I guess what we say, our list of things we think that we need. But God knows sometimes if I give you those things, it may pull you away from me. Or if I give you those things, it's going to cause you to stumble here. Not that he won't give us things, but he knows. And the first thought is, realize your future is a gift from God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, to give you a future. You see, God gives you a future, and everything he gives is good and perfect. We just have to receive it, whether we understand what's going on or not. Point. Yesterday, my son totaled my car. He had an accident, and, you know, after all we've been going through, like, oh my God, something else happening. But because of the situation that had been happening in our lives, I told my husband, I said, I'm so excited about our future because I know God doesn't want something to be taken away from us and not replace it, because we've been faithful tithers. We faithfully give. We help, you know, people that we can help. So how can God not replace something that we've lost, especially because we need, you know, a car like that? And thanking God that he sent me a picture of the car, and he ran into a tree. He was on a street that he didn't know anything about, and I guess driving a little fast, the ground was flicking. He ran into a tree, but the car looks like it's up in the tree. So I don't know how fast he was going, but I said, Lord, that I thank you. I thank you that my son could have been hurt. He could have been seriously hurt. Sometimes he gets in the car and he doesn't always put his seatbelt on. But I asked him, you know, asked him this morning as he was leaving, you know, how he was feeling in his body, and he said he's still fine. So I just thank God, you know, for the way that he protected him. And I know that our future is in God's hands. And so we just have to wait to see what God's going to do. But in our waiting, how will we wait? And I've determined in my mind that I'm going to wait in expectancy. I'm going to wait in joy. I'm going to wait on what God has for me, because he loves me. He loves me, so I know that things are going to work out for my good. Okay, the second part is you can know what the future holds. The Holy Spirit will show you. John 6:13 says, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the things to come. We just have to ask him. And that's something that the Lord has given me. I said, this scripture says that Jesus, he doesn't do anything except he let his servant know. And I said, Lord, I can ask you fearfully sometimes, because sometimes, you know, like I said, we don't always understand. We don't always. I think that's why a lot of us wouldn't ask, because, you know, we don't want to know. I know that God doesn't let us know everything, because if he let us know everything, some of us wouldn't be where we are. Like, suffer? Oh, no. I think I'm not gonna go down that road, because I don't want to suffer. But you know that God loves us, and so we can ask him, and in our ask, God will let us know the things that he wants us to know. He's not going to let us know everything, but let's just get in the habit of asking him what we see our future. He sees our future at the. Okay, and the third thought is your future is in your city. Our future not determined by random luck, but by the seed we sow. God gave us seed time and harvest to eliminate fear and shape our future. Plant good seeds today for your tomorrow. And in the world at large, we think that seed is just the money that we give, and it is. It's just the money that we give, but it's also our time. It's also our dedication. It's also our attitude. Everything is a seed. Everything should be a seed in our lives to God. When we go through things, when we go through grumbling and complaining, or when we go through knowing that God is going to bring us out. And the Bible says all things work together for the good. Oh, my car was totaled yesterday. That's going to work out for my good. I don't know how, but I know that it is. And I know that God is in control. So I'm feeding that praise of the sea, feeding that praise unto God, because I know that he will bring us, you know, to an expected. And the fourth thought is receive the wisdom of God. wise man foresees what is coming and takes action. Wisdom empowers you to foresee. We act rather than react. And a lot of times what we do, circumstances come and we don't understand what's going on, and you know, we haven't prepared ourselves. We haven't been in God's face. We can't pull a scripture out to encourage ourselves in the situation that we find ourselves in. But if we ask God for wisdom, and he said for us to ask for wisdom, and he would not withhold it, he would give us full wisdom as to the way that we're supposed to go, the way that we're supposed to handle situations, the way that we're supposed to allow people to see us. But because we're being watched, whether you know it or not, we're being watched. People are looking how we're reacting to different circumstances that happen in our lives. I was my little cousin yesterday. I was teasing him and asking him, "Said, did you hug me today? Did you tell me that you loved me?" He said, "Well, I was kind of, you know, didn't want to bother you because of the car. I didn't know if you were in a good mood or not." He was watching. He was watching me. I said, "No, give me a call, give me a kiss. I love you. You know, God is in control. We have to, you know, I'm just trusting God." And we don't know who's watching us. He's just 14 years old, so we have to be cognizant of the fact that people are watching us and watching how we're handling things. They're going through the same things that we're going through. But how will we care? The fifth spot is take inventory of what you have in stock. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. This is a scripture that I was trying to come up with last week but couldn't bring it out. But he has given us power, love, and a sound mind. You are loaded with tools to be free from fear. God is in control, people of God. If we realize that nothing happens, there's a preacher in Chicago, R.D. Hinton, and he always says that the devil is God's I'm not sure how it goes. I can't remember. But anyway, God uses the devil. The devil can't do anything that God does not allow him to do. He can't touch you. We can look at Job as an example. He had to come to God and try to manipulate. That's what he was trying to do, trying to manipulate God into bringing disaster on Job. But we know that God is not the one that brought the disaster. He just allowed the enemy to do it. Nothing that happens, hallelujah, nothing that happens to us is a surprise to God. Nothing that happens to us, God cannot fix. God cannot prevent. He is in full control. Thank you, Jesus. That is such a comforting thought. And we have to realize that, and we have to always keep that in our mind. God is in control. There is no thing too hard. That's what the angel said to Mary when he came and told her that she was a blessed woman and that she was going to have a baby. And she said, "How can this thing be? Because I've never been with a man." And he said, "It's anything too hard for God." Hallelujah. There is no thing that is too hard for God. Okay, and then at the end, we have think it and say it. And it says, "I receive my great future as a gift from God. I expect a fear-free life and a fear-free future. I invite life of the host to the moment to meet to the deeds to come. So I will not be caught off guard. My seed determines my future. Therefore, I know what kind of harvest is coming. I have not given the spirit of fear, but I have power, love, and a sound mind to shape my future in Jesus' name.
Yes, it is. Just knowing that God's just got it. It seems out of control, but I know that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory in this situation as well. The situation doesn't change God. God just works through the situation.
Amen, amen. And we're going to see if Adrian is there now. Are you there, Sister Adrian?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. God bless you all. Praise the Lord to each and every one of you today. I'm here. God bless you. Got up a little late, so I decided to tune on in. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. We thank God for you. Putting me into I had the Matthew Starting Point Church. I think you were coming on as he was leaving, but just telling us, this is a dynamic young man. I've told you about him, and, you know, he was sharing with us the vision that they have and how God gave it to him, starting out as a young man, 10 years old, giving his life to God and so knowing that what God had for him to do, and willing, because I'm sure that 40-year-olds that God has called, and, but they're not always willing to accept the calling. But he did, and just enjoyed him this morning, and he gave us a prayer for the church is doing a series on marriage. And I think last week they were talking about anger. How are you this morning?
Well,
we got to another broadcast, and God had glorified, just so happy that we were able to have Pastor and Matthew as the guest on today. I didn't get him earlier in the week, but when I called him and asked him if he could be my guest today, he graciously accepted to be the guest today. I thank God for him. And I just want to give a little commercial for New Destiny Ministry under the leadership of evangelist Adrian Bernard. She's an awesome woman of God and she's doing an awesome thing in the kingdom, equipping God's people for the end times, as we definitely are in the end times. And we thank God for her. You can hear her. She's California, so she's on Pacific time. It's 1 o'clock her time on this same number, New Destiny Ministries. And if you want to, you can listen online also. You can just go to blogtalkradio.com. And many of you know that because you're listening via the internet. But just tell your friends. Tell your enemies, just tell everybody, because our desire is to uplift God and to enlarge the kingdom and to teach God's people, to give them the tools that they need to draw men unto them. So, honey, would you send us in prayer? We have about a couple of minutes. And I thank God for my husband being here. I just I thank God he's such a blessing to my love family. He's a blessing today because you do this.
We just thank you, Father, for this time. We thank you for your rich word. We thank you for the testimonies that have gone forth, and even how we have had Pastor Matthew to share how vision has come alive in Starting Point Church through him and his lead pastor, Pastor Chris Hankins. We just thank God for showing the world, even through this broadcast, how that you can use your people that are willing to just yield themselves to you. And Father, that's our prayer, that everyone under the sound of this broadcast today, throughout the airways, throughout cyberspace, throughout however, whatever means they're hearing these words, that they will be invoked to just realize that, yes, Lord, I yield myself to you. I know you have a work for me to do, and I just thank you for the plans that you know you have for us, plans of a future and of an expected end, and of joy and peace and prosperity. Bless us, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for this broadcast. We thank God for Pastor Matthew being on with us and just hearing how the Lord is using him. And such a young man and just an awesome man that loves God. And we thank God for you being here with us, and we just say we just want to praise him forever and ever and ever. And until next week, they overcame by the blood of their sin and by the word of their testimony. Until next week.